Find someone who loves you the way Kenny loves driving tonight on the Fraudcast.
So I had a thought, you guys, when I was watching the latest episode of Happily Ever After.
Right.
So you know how Michael and Angela find that rat in his apartment, and it's like dead and shit. I just imagine like the drowned rat in Rose's in Rose's house watching the episode, saying, "Oh, why, Lord, why can't you just take me swiftly like that? Why must I subsist?"
Do you think it's a 90-day prop? Have we compared the rats to see if they have any similarities?
It's just a fake rat they're putting everywhere.
Seriously,
it's like their version of Flat Stanley. Oh,
God. The producers are trolling us. Like, every producer's like, okay, we're all each going to take a fake rat to our scene, and we're going to put it in to whatever we're recording.
Yeah,
what gets me more is like how it's such a spectacle. It's like, given the area, it's like being in some places in America, right? You expect roaches or alligators or, you know, it's kind of like, this is a topic still, but, you know, I think it was the same rat. I think it's the prove me wrong thing.
Yeah.
I need photo evidence.
If we accept the premise that they were separate rats, I bet that rat in Rose's house was really jealous of the Nigerian rat because it's dead.
And not wet.
And not drowned by water.
Not having to shower with Ed.
Yeah, that had been on Ed's body.
He was crawling out. Ed was actually taking his shirt off, and he's like, "I will not die here."
But speaking of Angela, like, her reaction to that apartment was so like opposite of everybody else's American girl's reaction to where they were living when they moved.
That's because Angela's been to Nigeria multiple times. She knows what's up, right?
Right. Well, Ari allegedly has been to Ethiopia a couple times, and she's still all, "Oh my God, this is terrible."
Well, she hasn't been there pregnant.
With her mother.
Right. She's there with new eyes and a second pair of eyes that seems to be pretty judgmental. So, yeah.
Yeah.
She's thinking, like, "I'm not just there to fall on the bed. I'm there to have a baby now."
She already did her falling on the bed, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, hi, you guys. Welcome to the Fraudcast. I am frauded by TLC, also known as Katrina. I am coming to you this week remotely from the beach. Sorry, not sorry. We're on vacation. And so you may hear Hado Life Mate opening a Limerita in the background. You may hear Baby Frauded playing on his laptop. And you may hear Baby Step Frauded asking for an iPad charger. I also don't know how stable my internet connection is. So the sound in my connection is, you know, kind of unstable.
But hopefully it's more stable than Ash and Avery's relationship. Am I right, guys?
Agent C is also recording from the road. He's in a secret location on the road. We don't know what he's doing. We don't know where he is. Some secret bunker somewhere underground with a strong internet connection. I don't know what he's doing.
It's at least the caviar is good.
Whoa.
At least they told me it was caviar. Who knows?
Yeah,
who knows
it's a big really problem was. When you're not sure what you're, you know,
what you're eating.
Is it that weird shit that they put on the top of sushi, or is it actually legit?
I don't know. Hopefully I won't have intestinal parasites tomorrow.
Blink twice if you need help.
It's a podcast. They can't see.
Well, there's the need, and blink three times if you want the help.
Okay.
It's one of those trips.
All right. And now we take you inside the episode. So you guys, we got a little bit of low-level deception happening with Kenny and Armando. I know they're everybody's favorite couple. Everyone's like,
"Don't shatter the illusion."
Don't.
They're perfect.
They're perfect. TLC, don't screw this up. This is very low level. This is not a big deal. So in episode 3, there's a scene where Kenny is talking to his daughters about and his son about how they had this family dinner and how they said that you didn't really know Armando's age, like he had lied about Armando's age, and that he's actually a lot younger than that. I think he said they pretended he was like 36, 37 or something, but he's actually more like 30. I call a little bit of bullshit on this, and this is why. Is so you go on a deep dive of one of the triplets, her social media has a ton of pictures of multiple trips to Mexico with the family to celebrate. Well, I don't know if that was the purpose of the trip, but on the trip, they're celebrating Armando's birthday. And so I find it hard to believe that if they're had this huge birthday celebration for Armando multiple times, dating back 2017, 2018. I think there's even 2016 pictures in there. I find it hard to believe that they didn't know his actual age. Like, you're going to have a birthday and celebrate your fake age. If it's just them, maybe, but I find it hard to believe that they would be in Mexico and there wouldn't be other people there that knew his real age. So I kind of call bullshit on that. It seems like a TLC thing. You know, let's pretend like your kids didn't know how old he is, because that's really the only thing they can kind of make up about these guys.
Right.
You know, if that's what they're making up, if that's the fraud that they're going to put out for this couple, I'm okay with that. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But it seems to me that the kids really did know what Armando's real age is. There's hashtags on a lot of these pictures where they refer to him as their stepfather. They could have been, it looks like they might have been engaged well prior to this. I don't have an exact date, but it also could be a situation where they refer to him as their stepfather, but they're not actually, you know, engaged or married or whatever. I mean, I know Hetero Life Mate and I sort of had a similar situation since we're not married. Although we have planned a date, so looks like we're actually gonna get married one day. Anyway, so they could be calling him stepfather even without the official relationship because they've been together that long. But I mean, you go back to 2016, 2017, 2018 pictures, and you've got hashtags talking about stepfather, and the captions are, you know, I love Armando. He's so great. You know, my dad's boyfriend, blah, 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 blah. It seems to me they've all been very close over the last couple of years. So to not know his actual age, I think, is just TLC fraud.
You could say it strains credulity.
Sure. Yeah.
It's acceptable fraud. Like, they have to make some kind of, oh my God, moment with them. Cause so far
right.
It's just been too good to be true.
Yeah. They have to have something, some kind of tension with the family. Oh my gosh, I got to tell him his real age. You know, if that's the fraud that we're going to get with them, I'm okay with that because they're perfect and we don't want anybody to shatter the illusion.
That's right. Don't you come for them.
We must protect those smiles, damn it.
Every season needs a couple that you're rooting for. You need a sweet couple.
Yes. I need to laugh through the tell-all, too, though, because we have those couples in the past, and then the tell-all, they just flushed all that down the damn toilet.
I don't think did the last season of Before have a couple you were rooting for? I don't remember.
I was really rooting for Avery and Ash at first, and then they started, like, burning that down towards the end. Like, after the seminar, it just spiraled down into a hot ball of fire.
Yeah. And then the real life stuff, the way they were, was just like, I'm almost over them.
Yeah, you started out wanting to root for Big Ed, and then he opened his mouth.
Yeah. He ruined his really early, though. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's all on him.
As soon as he got there, it was like,
yeah, I think we liked him for one episode, and then it was, after that, it was like, oh, maybe not. Never mind.
Nope. But so far, I have enjoyed this couple, so I'm rooting for them.
Yeah.
And a little bit for Angela and Michael, too. Even through their
It's hard not to want them to succeed in some way, even though we know kind of the ending of their story. So far. Okay, next up, we have some information on Devin and Jihoon's apartment. An enterprising member of our team was able to track down the Airbnb listing, and it is You're going to be shocked about this. Exactly like it was on the show. It could have been freaking screen grabs. Even though Devin's saying it wasn't like in the pictures, in those private pictures. I would strongly suggest, Devin, and, you know, XOXO, obviously lots of love from us, but maybe look at them next time. Anyway, I think Katrina, you have the post on your IG page.
I do. If you want to check out the pictures of the Airbnb, they are posted on my Instagram page.
So the real question is, can you rent it? If I went to Seoul tomorrow, could I rent this place and have, like, oh, I've been in the place where Devin and Jihoon were. Oh, my stars.
I'm sure you can. I'll send you the link for the listing, and you can see if you can swing by South Korea in your current travels.
We'll see. although I don't know if I want to go to the hood of Seoul, which is how they described it on the show.
Yeah, I don't know if it was.
I know there's
not
bad parts everywhere, but I'm like, is there?
But see, not in some places. Tokyo has no bad parts. There are parts that are poor, but not mm-hmm. dangerous. Right. Actually, the only parts of Tokyo that people consider dangerous are the ones where Americans hang out. That's not a joke. So, like, for Devin to be like, oh, I just want to go for a walk, but I can't go out in this bad neighborhood. It's like, no, yes, you can.
I mean, the apartment, like you said, looks exactly like it is in the pictures. You know, you can Google Earth it. You can see what it looks like outside. Like, it has a good description of where it is, how close it is to the subway. Good description of where it is. Like, it's not. I don't know. I mean,
maybe she didn't open the pictures all the way to see the good parts, and she only saw the bad parts because she left them closed too much.
Could be. Anyway.
Anyways, you know,
let's give that poor apartment owner a bunch of business. Next time you're in Seoul, you book that room. Okay.
They are a super host on Airbnb, which is not an easy title to attain.
Let's help them keep their status.
All right. So third on our list, we do have a time frame for the Happily Ever After tell-all recording. And so far, sources say it's in August.
I don't know if
it's going to keep its same format. Are we going to get more leaks?
Hopefully, yes.
Get more Zoom leaks?
Hopefully. We'll have to see how this plays out. But that's what we have on the tell-all so far. So,
well, I certainly hope they keep the format from last time because it worked really well.
I really liked it, actually.
Yeah, and I hope they forget to close the loop again and stuff leaks out again.
I also hope they don't make the mistake of making it three episodes, because episode three sucked.
Yeah, they really stretched that out.
Actually, I erased it from my mind. It didn't exist. It was a two-part tell-all, that's it.
So far, on both Happily Ever After and on The Other Way, I don't know. I haven't seen much fireworks. I haven't seen much. I mean, like, I'm interested, but I'm not. I haven't seen, like, the big fireworks happening yet.
We're not at the pivot point yet. Right now, we're still, like, getting to know them. They're just now seeing each other's houses. And so I think for some, like, the drama is going to come when the baby and meeting parents for, you know. Who knows?
Yeah. Hopefully. And then that's more. Also when, like, the secondary and tertiary characters come out of the woodwork and start spilling tea and start coming out about all the kinds of bullshit that we're
seeing. Right,
we have to
wait for the negative portrayals of people, and then we get the corrections. I look for the corrections. Actually, I eat oranges. I don't just shove ones off trees in my mouth. I like the store ones.
Unripe oranges.
Yeah. Also, Happily Ever After is kind of staged. A lot of it's staged. So can I make this observation? I'm going to make an observation. It really drives me nuts that, like, 75% of the plots for Happily Ever After are about people needing to get a job. It's like, dude, that is your job. You're on the show. That's how you're making money. I don't believe that you're unemployed because you get paid per episode. This is you making a living. And I cannot suspend disbelief. when you say, oh, Sinjin, just, you know, we just moved into this apartment, but Sinjin and Tanya, they really gotta find, I just can't be a bartender because of my leg, and Sinjin's, he's a drunk. Well, what are we gonna do? It's like,
how are we gonna pay for this $10,000 divorce? Where will we get $10,000 from? Oh no.
Fall from the sky.
Oh no.
And I have to say this too. So with the Paul and Karini scene, right? Like in the grocery store. Now, normally with Paul and Karini, one of the things I love about them is that you don't need to stage things with them because they are just that batshit crazy that you can just film them doing their normal day. And that's just them. Like, you don't need to stage their shit.
Right.
But that said, I do feel like this grocery store scene was staged with the baby wipes and the feminine hygiene products where he was like shoving them in her face. Like, that doesn't ring true to Paul and Karini's dynamic.
That was really weird, right? Especially since he had, like, I know people think Paul's a doofus, but his insanity, I think, also has a bit of intelligence, and I don't think he would have grabbed like oversized diapers to thinking that they were, you know, tampons, and then describing to us how tampons work, because we didn't fucking know. Like 90% of the people who watch the show are women. We know how tampons work.
Do they go in the hole?
The same way that, you know.
Yeah, I feel, and that's why I feel like that scene was staged, because it doesn't ring true to Paul and Karini's dynamic. Their normal dynamic.
A lot of them feel staged. A lot of their plot feels staged. Like the whole water thing.
That was totally staged.
Paul, I want water. I'm like, there is water on the nightstand. And this
there's a bottle of water right there.
This whole explanation on how she doesn't drink tap water. And he's like, yeah, we have nutrients in ours. And I'm like, that's really scary to tell someone. We have chemicals in our water to make your teeth strong. And I'm like, wait a minute.
It'll corrupt it and purify all our precious bodily fluids.
It cleanses. Yeah. Drink it. It cleanses.
This storyline they're doing with them of Paul trying to convince Karini that America's great, like, and she doesn't want to be in America and she wants to go back to Brazil. Like, I don't know if I buy it 100%. I have to see more how it plays out. But in the past with them, you haven't needed to produce and stage them. But this storyline feels very staged. I don't know. Maybe
it's
the real
Paul feels
stuff.
Comfortable. Maybe it's because he's comfortable at home. Like, most of the funny stuff was him not wanting to get in water and having his penis sheath and the poop water and things like that. But now that he's home, the biggest thing is, like, he has a car that's falling apart. They want to buy a trailer that's falling apart. The only thing that's put together is the fucking grocery store.
Like, yeah. But I also think it's a 90-day tradition to have someone from a poor country go to a grocery store. Like, I feel like we've seen that in multiple seasons. It's kind of a recurring theme.
That's the first place they hit up is, look at our market. I'm like, at least take her to a Whole Foods.
Take her somewhere nice, not a you know, methed out Kroger.
It was Walmart.
It was
and
Kroger.
Not that it's terrible to go there, but I'm like, if you're trying to impress someone and say, look how amazing our supermarkets are, like, take her to,
look at our fresh produce,
know,
look at all the different kinds.
Market, you know, show her you can get every tropical fruit out of season because magic. So I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. So the jury's still out for me on that, but I feel like a lot of their stuff is staged. And given what we know about Paul and Karini and their past seasons, like, this feels a little different to me, and I'm going to have to see how it plays out. So jury's still out for me a lot on what their storyline is, how fraudulent it is.
Michael, what the is that?
What?
The fraud so far.
What is that?
So this is the segment where we are bringing everybody up to speed on the couples that are shown on the episodes. So last week we did Jenny and Sumit and
Colt and Larissa.
Colt and Larissa, right. So this week we're going to give you some Angela and Michael, get you caught up on how they got where they're at now, the fraud that has happened so far, and everything to sort of bring everybody up to the same page.
Angela. You know, we didn't know we needed her until we didn't have her. So yeah. we consider these two 90 Day royalty. They have been on since season two of Before the 90 Days. Angela, who is from Hazelhurst, and Michael, who's from Lagos, Nigeria. You say technically he is the show's second Nigerian. I think I missed the season where there was the first. Was
season
that
four.
Show?
It was season four of the regular. With Lowo, yeah.
Yeah, I totally missed that season. That's probably okay.
And Nakia.
They'll be the first Nigerian couple in my heart. So the ongoing tension is whether Angela can trust Michael. We see that with the multiple times as she kicks him out, throws him out, drives off without him, locks him out of the hotel, hangs up the phone, throws the phone. I mean, what else?
Smashes
the cake in his face.
Don't try to swindle her because she likes cake.
Well, it worked in the past. He learned. He's learning, and it didn't work this time.
And I would like the public to know you can swindle me because I like cake. It works on me.
I hate cake. People are like, what?
I love cake.
Wait, hold up. What do I swindle you with then? I got Katrina figured out.
What do you swindle me with?
White Claw.
No, like coffee. I like coffee. I just cake. It has to be like tres leche. I can't even say it, but that's the cake I like. A wet cake with the milk. Like if I could have a all wedding cake of that, it wouldn't collapse on itself because it's so freaking wet, I would do that. Anyways, Angela can be swindled with cake, but not recently since she put the cake on his face. The one thing with Michael is he is like totally a yes man. He agrees to everything. He just kind of goes with everything that Angela has him do, which is kind of weird to some people. But it's hard because he loves Angela, but you can't really get inside of his head, right? Like, you never know what he's thinking. He just kind of goes like, okay, I'm sorry. Does he really love Angela, or is he there for the green card? We know that he will. I'm not going to go there because flashes of underwear come into my head. But, you know, she brings over American underwear. Was it Trump underwear last time?
Mm-hmm.
And body chocolate. And he just like, do whatever to me, Angela.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, the only thing that like, I won't say the only thing he's done wrong, but the only time he's like acted out when he got a blowjob for his birthday,
right? And not he from
did,
Angela.
He did the BJ for real. That's the only like thing that I remember that he's actually done besides Angela just getting upset at him.
Also, his ringtones. Don't forget, he had a ringtone on his phone.
A different ringtone. Uh-huh. I was like, wait a minute.
He was on a ship with a girl.
She knows the ringtones that he has. Like, does she have the listing in hers? Like, okay, I know this person's that. I want to know who it is that's calling you. So each person has a specific ringtone that she's memorized.
Gotta watch out for them females with their ringtones.
Them females. So, you know, I think towards the end of the last season that Angela was on, not 90 Day. Was she on 90 Day?
She was on season 7.
Oh, I get so confused because she was back and forth on them. But at the end of Before the 90 Day, the last season, season 3, I think people were a little upset with her because of all the issues that happened during the tell-all.
That's when we thought we'd seen the worst.
She's getting chubby, yelling and stuff. But after baby girl Lisa, bring Angela back. Just like cuff her to the chair this time. But bring her back. I think we're good.
I think she also made the cardinal sin on the season 3 tell-all from before of being nice to Jesse and like standing up for him.
Yes. She like took him in under her wing and they just like, you know,
when they brought Jesse back, which is completely inexplicable. But hey, I wasn't on the season at all, but let's bring Jesse in to talk.
Well, he was there because they were recording his segment for What Now, and they wanted to troll Darcy.
Right. Right. Because, and this is diverting away, but he did a YouTube video where he was explaining that he kind of got the switcheroo done on him too.
Jesse's going to make himself the victim.
Well, he had a trauma. Come on. He didn't know.
He had a trauma.
He was there to record more traumas and he ended up getting in the tell-all. I don't think he knew he was going to be there, but yeah. So the one thing that
I was going to say you, but anyway, taking it back, after enduring baby girl Lisa, we all are like, oh, Angela, welcome back. Thank you.
I know
you,
everyone's happy that to see Angela. It's like their memories wiped of the last terrible thing that she did. And they're just like, we're okay with Angela. We're okay. Just stop hitting Michael, damn it. Stop hitting Michael. Not going to go for it. the one thing that is with Angela and Michael, though, a little bit of a side note that we know is that Michael can't actually get into the U.S. Or the big question is, can he, right? So his K-1 was refused in season 7 of 90 Day Fiancé. And then there's also the Nigerian travel ban, which makes things even more difficult. The show is, you know, kind of giving us the feeling that she's going against what she should do or making a mistake by marrying him in Nigeria. But according to agency, that is probably her best bet.
Best thing she could do.
Well, because it gives another layer of credibility to their relationship. And so even though there is the Nigerian travel ban, at least that might be the marriage might be able to help overcome the ineligibility he received when they said, oh, your relationship's fake. So right. Getting married might actually overcome that. And then eventually when hopefully if you know, whatever happens with the travel ban, if that gets lifted, then, you know, because he's got the two layers, right? Of
right. So to be precise about it, he actually didn't receive an ineligibility having his K-1 refused. They just sent the petition back with a recommendation that it be revoked. There's going to be a record in the system that he interviewed and had that case. But going to the next level is definitely the right thing. But he has to get through the is the relationship bona fide layer before he can get to the overcome the travel ban layer.
Right.
He's overcome the Angela layer. Like at this point, that's some endurance. Like,
yeah.
It's been through a lot.
Listen, it's, you know, life's a marathon, not a sprint.
Oh my God. So other fun things with Angela that we get to see this time. So this is the spoilers part for some, right? They do get married. So the whole scene where she's at the airport freaking out, we actually had pictures of her at the airport that we posted, I think in like February. I think this is all when this went down, January or February, when she was spotted in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And then her wedding photos came out. We didn't really know Angela had friends, but we now know that the person that's, witnessed the wedding was her best friend.
JoJo.
One of her best friend, JoJo.
Who we only just met in the fourth season.
We just met. It threw everybody for a loop. They're like, what's a JoJo? I'm like, it's a person. And apparently it's Angela's friend. I'm sorry. I didn't know either. It threw me as well. What else with Angela and Michael? Oh, their story is where Agency's arc nemesis, as he says,
Lou Tippett
was introduced. And he also did an episode about this. So if you go over to his YouTube channel, you can see him responding.
Lou Tippett is Angela's lawyer who gives apparently really bad advice. And Agency has something to say about that.
He has some words. He has some words for Mr. Lou Tippett.
I recorded some words. You can go listen to them. But Lou.
And so that's pretty much it with Angela and Michael. I don't think there is a lot of fraud with them. You know, Angela is just really dramatic. She's loud. She's out there. And I think that's what makes their segments.
Yeah.
As far as fraud.
There's not a lot of TLC production stuff with them because there doesn't need to be.
Unless she's keeping it really under wraps. Like, I think her and Darcy both, like, keep their shit under a lid. They don't post about anything. Like, Angela didn't have a Instagram until, like, last year, I think. So, like, after she had to take down the fake Angela Instagram. But, yeah, that's another story. That's all we have for them.
So, the next couple we should look at to bring you up to speed on are Devin and Jihoon. Evidently, Jihoon is the beloved cast member of the president of TLC. I have on good authority. I don't blame him. He has good taste in men.
Oh my God.
So they're actually a relatively new addition to the 90 Day pantheon. They were only first appeared in the last season of The Other Way. Now they're on their second season. Devin is from
Hey, Fraudcasters. You've probably already heard about how effective Ozempic and Wegovy are. You've probably also heard that they're in shortage, but Ro makes it possible to access GLP-1s and start your journey ASAP. Through Ro, you can access prescription-compounded GLP-1s with the same weight loss ingredient as the brand name GLP-1s at a fraction of the cost. You can see if you qualify from the comfort of your own home. That means no having to schedule a doctor's appointment, no driving to the doctor's office, no waiting rooms, none of that. You do it all from the comfort of your home through your computer. And if prescribed, your medication ships directly to you in 1 to 4 days. Go to ro.co/fraudcast. Membership start at just $99 for your first month. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/fraudcast. Go to ro.co/safety for black box warning and full safety information. Compounded medication is not required to and does not receive FDA review or approval, prescription only.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Salt Lake City, technically she lives north of Salt Lake City in Davis County, Utah. And Ji-hoon is from Seoul, South Korea. Now, according to their story that we were presented last season, they met on a app of some kind, which then led to Ji-hoon coming to America and he and Devin making some questionable decisions that ended up with Devin getting pregnant with his child. Devin lives with her parents and has a daughter from a prior marriage whose name sounds like a Disney villain. The daughter's name is Drusilla. I mean, cute kid, but when I hear the name, I'm like, okay, you know, like, am I going to get like a poison banana if I go talk to her? You know, it's I've got some questions about that.
Well, and then there was the whole scene last season where Ji-hoon's parents were in. They were all there in Vegas together, and Drusilla, they'd made breakfast, and it was this whole American breakfast for Ji-hoon and his parents. And Drusilla is sitting there on the counter in her diaper with like chopsticks in her toes, with like her diaper right next to the plate of eggs, and her hands like in the eggs. And it was just like,
there is nothing more, there's nothing more horrifying to your Korean in-laws than that.
I can only imagine.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. I mean, the only worst thing that Drusilla could have done would have been to praise the Japanese occupation of the Korean Peninsula during the early half of the first half of the 20th century. You know, like,
how do we know she didn't?
Maybe they cut that out, because because literally everything but that was like the worst thing she could have possibly done. So, I mean, hopefully we'll get the outtake where she says, you know, South Korea sure owes a lot to the Japanese after their 50-year occupation. Oh God, we're going to get it from our Korean fans, aren't we? Listen, it's just a joke. I love you guys. I love South Korea. I kid because I care. So, the thrust of the season with Devin and Ji-hoon is that Ji-hoon is kind of a slacker. They want the arc of the story is that they've got to get married, they've got to have a life together, but Ji-hoon just never steps up. Now, I think this is a whole load of producer-driven BS, because fundamentally, the show is constantly blaming things that are normal parts of life in South Korea and in a lot of East Asia in general, as if they're unique flaws of Ji-hoon's character. For example, it's normal for him to live with his parents. He's unmarried. Getting an apartment, especially one big enough for a family, is very difficult. You know, Ji-hoon even admitted it this week that he didn't go to a good university. That's why he doesn't have a job at a big prestigious company, a stable full-time job, because he didn't go to a prestigious school. I don't even think he finished. So he's kind of relegated to the lower tiers of the economy there. A lot of people like him are in the same lot. He did get slapped with a fine for some things that he did with his prior business. There's a bit more to that than I think we can get into today.
Right. Well, the story given on the show is that he was reselling used or stolen cell phones, and he got in trouble with that and had to pay this huge fine, and that's why he was in debt. But you think there might be something different that happened.
I have a theory.
I don't know if you're ready to go into that.
I need to do some research before I share my theory, but I think that the real thing he got in trouble for is a bit more complicated. But if you understood what it was, you'd understand why TLC went with stolen phones. Because the thing I think he got in trouble for is way more complex. But, you know, look for some content I produce in the future on that particular issue. I still need to acquire more evidence. So my whole beef with TLC on their story, and what I think is kind of fraudy, is that they make Ji-hoon seem like uniquely delinquent as a human being. And he's not. He's actually pretty normal. There are a lot of people like him in places like South Korea, Japan, and such. And also what annoys me is that they don't apply the same standards that they apply to him to Devin, right? Devin lives with her parents. Devin's done some, you know, kind of menial work. Why is she get a pass and Ji-hoon gets dumped on? I don't think that's especially fair. But at
right.
least their
she's
baby's
like,
cute.
She's like 23 and has, you know, she's got her two kids and she lives at home. Like, why isn't she held to the standard? Ji-hoon's what, 30 and lives with his parents. But it, like you said, in Korea, that's normal. And not that there's necessarily anything wrong with, you know, Devin and having two kids, 23, living with her parents. Like, I don't have any beef with that. But
why wouldn't
like you said,
it?
Apply
it's cheap.
Apply, yeah, exactly. Apply the same standards.
Yeah.
You know.
But you know, this is a producer trick, an editing trick. Ji-hoon is the villain of their story, and Devin is the hero. That's the way they've framed it for us.
Maybe they're setting it up for a big like comeback from Ji-hoon, and he's going to end up being the hero. You know?
According to social media, I don't think that's happened yet. I would love that arc. I'd love a redemption arc for him. But, I don't, you know, Devin's in Utah and Ji-hoon doesn't post a lot. So,
right.
And evidently, I think I heard somewhere on the internet that, like, she purged a lot of stuff with him in it recently. So, might not. We might be getting a unredemption.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's enter Katrina's court. So this week, for me, there was a debate about what case I was going to tackle here. And it was between the way Yazin and his parents treated Brittany, who, let me just be first to say, I'm not the biggest fan of Brittany because of the way she apparently seems to give zero fucks about the culture in Jordan. And she's all about this, oh, you disrespect me, you disrespect me. But she's kind of disrespecting their culture. Like, there's things you can't really do. And if you don't like that, you shouldn't have gone there. But that anyway. So, I'm not her biggest fan. But his parents were totally next level. And Yazan was not translating things properly. And it was just like they were ganging up on her. So it was completely next level. And so I was debating between that scene. But I think what I got to go with here is Jenny of Jenny and Sumit giving the third degree to Sumit's friend for the friend not telling her that he was married. Like, okay, so this he owes you nothing, right? Like the friend doesn't owe you nothing. The friend owes you nothing. Sumit is the one that owes you this stuff. He's Sumit's friend. He's going to keep Sumit's secret. It's up to Sumit to tell you that he's married, which I believe that she knew. And so she was giving him more shit than she gives Sumit. But this whole thing plays into the, like, their acting bullshit. The whole thing is bullshit. Like, if they're making her, if this is a producer driven, oh, let's get mad at the friend rather than get mad at Sumit. Well, if you're not getting mad at Sumit for this whole thing in the way that you're getting mad at the friend, then that tells me that there's probably some level of fraud happening. This whole thing, it just seems like it's bullshit. Like, why are you going to give so much shit to the friend? Sumit lied to you when he catfished you and you took him back anyway. Then he lied to you about being married and you took him back anyway. But now you're saying if he doesn't get those divorce papers to you, now the relationship's going to be over after you already moved there for it. No, no. I mean, you're full of shit. You're going to stay with him no matter what. You've known this guy's married. You're fine with it. You've indicated to him you're fine with it. You're staying with him throughout all of this. So I am sentencing you to a lifetime of no showers in India and having to wash your hair yourself. Case closed.
Damn.
There we go. Their case is interesting, especially since it's another, like, I feel like we're finding out along with Jenny how the divorce process works in India.
Slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Though, like, no research on Google, I guess, could have prepared her to understand the divorce process. And so, you know, to make sure you're not getting lied to, a little research to understand maybe could have helped her out, or maybe not going until he produced actual divorce papers. I don't know.
Which tells me it's all bullshit, because if she doesn't care about any of that, it shows me that she doesn't really care about any of that stuff.
I bet,
because
she's
going to be with him
about.
Anyway. What does she care about?
Well, I think she cares about his tandoori beefsteak and TLC money.
I think TLC money before.
I think
she's
absolutely
drying up her savings to go out there, you know.
I think she absolutely is in love with him and he's in love with her. And I think that there's nothing that's going to change that. No failing to produce divorce papers. She's in it. She's in it for the long haul. She's in it till the end of time. Like, none of this other stuff matters. So making it like it's this big deal to me is all bullshit, because she's going to stay anyway. So
right. Eat love pay trip.
But is your contention, Katrina, that it's producer driven bullshit? It's something that TLC is putting in place to create drama, and the truth is Jenny just doesn't give a shit.
I think that it's Jenny and Sumit and producer all in cahoots together, creating the storyline.
A conspiracy.
Oftentimes, what happens, as a side note, it's the cast members that come to production with some of these crazy storylines. That's how they sell themselves. We'll do this. We'll do this. We have this. We have this. We'll exaggerate this. We'll do this. Like, they sell that story to production as a part of selling themselves. So what seems like producer-driven bullshit may be producer-driven, but the origin of that story may have come from the cast members themselves. And I believe that in Sumit and Jenny's case, they were part of the decision. Like, oh, hey, let's do this, let's do this. And they all are doing it together, which is a common TLC production situation. I don't have hard and fast evidence to support that, but based on experience and other things, like, that's my belief on them.
All right, so our social media roundup today. All right, so we're going to start out with Devin, who is the queen of the call center. I guess people were asking if she worked, and she responded that she did at a call center.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm
scintillating.
Glad. her post that she put in her stories was saying how she worked mandatory overtime while she was pregnant and worked to support herself, and I don't know where the cry was for people asking her where she worked, but she answered us.
She doesn't say it out.
Nobody asked her.
She doesn't say it out loud that she worked for Overstock, because she said she worked for an online company that sells furniture. Well, there's only one online company that sells furniture that's based in Salt Lake City and has a call center in the Salt Lake area, and it's called Overstock.com.
Not Wayfair. Not to be confused with Wayfair, right?
Yeah, right. No, I think it's overstock. So she worked at her call center. It's not her call center, it's their call center. But you know, so I got a couple things I got to say about this. And again,
I was leaving it open because I knew Agent C had comments. I knew he had thoughts. So
listen, we got to stand up for our boy Ji-hoon. All right, the dude's trying. He needs his naps. It's cool. Delivering food is tough. All right, give the guy a break. Devin's saying that she took care of her kid and worked 17-hour shifts. Uh-uh. You did one or the other. If you were working a 17-hour shift, you weren't taking care of your kid. Your mom was taking care of your kid. You know,
which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Which is fine. It's totally fine. But she's trying to, like, pull this whole, like, she's trying to, like, dick slap him in the face with this whole, like, well, I worked a 17-hour shift and took care of a kid and stood on one toe and juggled plates on my nose. It's like, no, you didn't. Just be honest about it, man. It's cool. Like,
or maybe
you gotta
her
have
emphasis,
some, you gotta have some
maybe
chill.
Maybe her emphasis was that she worked the long shift and then came home and had to, you know, still work because she was a mom, which is how it goes when you're a single parent.
When you're a working mom, yeah.
Yeah. Been there, done that. I get it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe. It just seems to me that she was, you know, trying to kind of shame him and put him in his place. And it's like, that's kind of unfair. The guy's.
Well, I think
the
people
guy
were
paid
like,
off a $30,000 debt. Like, he actually is working.
Like, yeah, well, you know, she's not working in South Korea, right? But she, I think, was like, hey, but I did work before. I'm not working at the moment, but I did work, and I earned money, and I worked my ass off. And, you know, so if you're trying to say, like, I should also be working, and I don't know what it's like, then fuck you, because this is what I did. I worked hard, and
but
I earned Ji-hoon, money.
Ji-hoon
is
not Asuelu, right? Ji-hoon's not Asuelu.
Well, there's also that
but
you
is
should
he?
Be working harder because you don't have a kid out there, right? So he can get up and essentially take care of himself. Maybe she's asking
she's taking
where
care
that,
of the kids.
Yeah, where's that drive to go out and, you know, work as hard as she is at least? I don't know.
There's no sex at the end. I don't know what else motivates Ji-hoon. Like, he was motivated.
You think sexually? He was motivated to get to Las Vegas, right?
Or to get to Utah, yeah. Like, you know, like God. when there was some sweet reward at the end, he was motivated. But you know, it's not like he's the pizza delivery guy in porno movies. You know, he ain't living that kind of life.
That would be an interesting. Yeah, we're gonna go to the next one now,
Ji-hoon. we got plans for you, son.
Oh, no, no, no. So next up on our list is Larissa. Larissa posted on her Instagram that her and Eric are officially dating because the whole world needed to know or wanted to know. And she also posted that her attorney advised her to break up with Eric in the first place because he didn't want Larissa getting in trouble when she was already on thin ice. And we mean with the charges she was facing for...
And she was on probation.
Yeah, domestic mm-hmm. violence against Colt or whatever. So, I mean, what was the fear here that the attorney thought she might beat
get
up
into
Eric
another
too?
Altercation?
Get into another altercation?
That's some next level savage. He's like, Larissa, you're a crazy bitch. I can't trust you around other men because you're gonna do some shit again. And then there's not much I can do for you. So why don't you just live the nun life for at least until you're off probation.
6 months. Because I think she had to take anger management classes too, right? So she had an anger issue. And he
I'm going to give you Laura's number.
Her, right?
Laura's going to tell you where to find a purple friend. And you're going to that should keep you engaged at least until this probation thing blows over, all right?
And you can beat on him all you want.
That's right. purple friend won't call the cops on you.
Anyways, next on our list, we have Natalie from Natalie and Mike of Aliens, posted a pic of her and Mike. There's really nothing more than that. We're assuming that they're still together, and we know that they were filming earlier this year, so maybe we'll see them on the next episode of 90 Day Fiancé, maybe?
Who gives a shit about them? I want to see more of Uncle Bojangles.
Well, you can't see him without Mike, so... You don't get aliens unless you have Mike. You don't get Bojangles unless you have Mike. And Natalie so happens to be there too, so. You just gotta have to deal with it.
I'm not gonna be happy about it.
You know, the social media roundup is supposed to be Hanakawa just going boom, 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 right?
I know, like, but we need discussion. To conversate
this
on this
was,
one.
This was way more fun. We had a good old time.
Well, especially if, like, you throw things that I'm, like, personally, I don't care about. Like, I don't care about Devin. I don't care about Larissa to a certain extent.
You don't care about Mike. You don't care
I don't care about Mike aliens. But, you know, the thing is that this new season of 90 Day cast members for The Other Way and Happily Ever After, they're not doing anything.
Right.
So there's not much social media around it.
And now it's time for Ask the Visa Officer.
All right, guys. So I very much appreciate all the nice questions I got from you guys. I'm only going to be able to get to two of them this week. But don't worry. There's always next time for you to get your question featured or to ask a different question. Keep them coming. The more the merrier. So thank you for everybody who participated in sending some questions in. Before we get to them, I want to share a little bit of my thoughts on something we saw with Larissa this week. You know, the whole tension and buildup for her segment on Happily Ever After was her going to the immigration office and is she going to get arrested and deported? Well, she just went for a biometrics appointment. She probably knew that going in. Typically, when they, like, you know, if you're going in for biometrics, you do your 10 print, right? Left hand, right hand, get a picture taken, you're gone. It was as routine an appointment as it possibly could be. And they're building it up as this sort of dramatic cliffhanger. The government's going to get her. It doesn't work like that. It was about as big of a letdown as you possibly could get. She knew she was going in to get biometrics done as part of her case processing. Everyone goes through it. It's no big deal. And that's 100%, either it's Larissa driven or producer driven, but it's a bunch of crap. And I feel very taken advantage of emotionally by the producers for that. So finger wave at you guys. All right, let's get to some questions. Okay, this first question comes to us from Instagram by our friend Bri Nori with an underscore between those two words. And she asks, how easy will it be for Sumit to come to the U.S. once his divorce is finalized with his first wife? Now, we're going to assume for this that he and Jenny get married. And once that's done, it should be relatively straightforward, provided he has no other type of ineligibility, such as a criminal background or communicable disease or any of the other, or membership in a totalitarian party, he should be good to go. He's got plenty of evidence that he and Jenny have had spent a sizable amount of time together, and it should be relatively straightforward. But if he's not divorced, it can't happen, obviously. So that's the answer to that particular issue. And the next question comes to us from our friend Norma Llanos. And she asks, can Colt sponsor another K-1 visa so soon after the Larissa debacle? Well, I don't think he's actually filed a petition for Jess or anyone else, but he is entitled to two K-1 petitions in his lifetime. But once he files a second one, he can no longer file a K-1 petition ever again. That was instantiated into the law under IMBRA. And as far as I know, it's only a K-1 limitation. So that's a good question. He has one more arrow in his quiver.
So more K-1, but can he do like CR-1s?
Yes, he can do any number of I-130s.
So if he does, like, he does his second K-1 and he uses up his lifetime supply, but then say he can go and get married and do CR-1s and come in that way and bring people in that way, should he decide?
Yes. Now, the government will watch to see if he's becoming a serial petitioner, and he could eventually receive higher levels of scrutiny if it looks like he's bringing in women every 2 years. I mean, maybe Colt's just that kind of stud, but I kind of doubt it.
Just that unlucky.
Thanks to everybody who sent in their questions. I will post over the weekend for submissions for new questions, so be sure to look out for those on Instagram. And if you didn't get your question answered today, don't worry. You may get your question answered in the future. You just have to hope and pray, and eventually your answer will come to you. Now, if you have any questions on your personal visa situation, you can go to my website, which is www.askthevisaofficer.com, where you'll be able to select a service that will provide you a pathway to enlightenment and low levels of stress in your life. So I invite you all to go check that out as soon as you're done listening to this wonderful show.
And that will be linked in the show notes. I am Frauded by TLC. You can find me at Frauded by TLC on Instagram. If you want to follow any of my non-90-day stuff, you can follow me at Just Frauded. And that's all my non-90-day stuff. I might be talking wedding stuff over there, since apparently I'm planning a wedding now. And we do all that, you know, all that kind of stuff over there. I want to give a shout out to our most recent Patreon patrons. Since our last shout out, we have had Jessica, Molly, Rebecca, Trian, Nicole, Jacob, Marion, Tamara, Sarah, Ashley, Megan, Emily, Amanda, Callie, Anna, SCB, Krista, Randy, and Monica. Thank you all for your contributions to the cause, and I hope you're enjoying what you're hearing over there on Patreon. It's patreon.com/thefraudcast. We've got all kinds of stuff happening over there. Our reboot for season 2 for the regular Fraudcast also applied to a lot of stuff happening over on the Patreon. So we're doing sort of different kinds of things over there. We have Know Your Visa Scams is our most recent episode. And we've got another one coming out this Friday. Those episodes come out every Friday. For $3, you can get access to all 4 episodes a month, $3 a month. And then when you join, you get access to all the past episodes as well. If you join at the $5 level, you get stickers in addition. And I do apologize for being late sending out some of those stickers. So have patience, please. Hang tight. I will get those out to you. Maybe I'll send extras to make up for them being late. I do apologize for that. Also on my Instagram, I am approaching 100,000 followers on Frauded by TLC. And so I'm having a giveaway to thank you guys for being such awesome followers. And giving away there a 6-month subscription to the Patreon, the opportunity to come be a guest host on a Patreon episode, also giving away a prize pack from Instagram user There Is No Store, who does all kinds of fun little keychains and stickers and all kinds of stuff, 90-day branded stuff. Rad Potato Shop is adding to that, giving a koozie and a keychain is added to that as well. And let's see what else we have. 90-day bingo cards from Really Real Designs is contributing those cards, which are a lot of fun for the show. And a booby mold kit from Calamity Tash. If you guys remember the Erica and Stephanie boob molds from the episode, the girl Tosh that owns that place, she is contributing a at-home booby mold.
It's not hers or like Erica's or Stephanie's?
It's not pre-made mold. It's a kit. No, so I got to do my own.
Yeah.
Do we have any down under kits for the men if they enter and win?
Ooh, I don't know. I'll have to ask Tash. I'm sure that there's a substitute we could work.
Maybe that'll be the 200,000 sub award.
And additionally, one more prize is a 5-pack of these awesome cloth print face masks for those for mask wearing situations. And so all of those things you can get. The instructions are all on the giveaway post on my Instagram. And you just go follow a couple accounts, make a comment on that picture, and you're entered. And as soon as I hit 100,000, then I will draw a winner. So that's what's happening on Frauded by TLC.
Awesome. So you can also find me on Instagram at 90 Day Fiancé today. Also, if you want to subscribe to my YouTube channel, you can find me at High Functioning Millennial.
Also will be linked in the show notes.
And in addition to my website, you can find me on YouTube at The Agent C Show. You can also find me on Instagram, reluctantly, at The Real Agent C. So drop me a line on either of those. YouTube first, then Instagram. Not that I have a preference.
His response time is quicker on YouTube for some reason.
It probably right. is.
He's still very resistant to Instagram, but he's coming along slowly. So that's it. That's our show for today. You guys, thank you so much for listening. We are The Fraudcast, and we're dumpster diving, so you don't have to.
Hey, fraudcasters. You know, I used to find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. They were the first thing to take off when I got home. But Skims has changed all that. You guys know I love my Skims Fits Everybody t-shirt bras. I own them in just about every shade now. I wear them every single day when I leave the house. And they are completely worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I was not expecting from them was how comfortable they are. Even the underwire bras that I wear all day, I barely even notice. Definitely not the first thing I take off when I come home anymore. Y'all, I'm a 36 double D, and I've had a reduction, and I've gone up and down and lost weight and gained weight and all the things. And the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, I swear, fits me the best. I finally found a t-shirt bra that I can wear. But not only that, it is the best bra that I own. It holds the girls in so well. And let me just say, Hetero Life Mate really appreciates these bras too. Shop Skims bras at skims.com. Now available in 62 sizes from a 30A to a 46H. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, The Fraudcast, in the drop-down menu that follows.